Hi, welcome to episode 17 of the Drive Podcast. I've enjoyed recording all these things. I've got some time in my car as I commute from where I live to where I go to school, about 70 minutes each way. And that's kind of how the drive started out. 17 episodes in now, and it's been fun. It's been fun to share. So episode 17, this will be about student-centered learning or student-focused learning or something like that, maybe a combo of the two. I think student-centered learning is a powerful tool that we need to figure out how to utilize in a way that works for each cognitive level of each set of students. So it's interesting thinking. I hope you enjoy this podcast. To find today's podcast and any links that are associated with it, please go to teachingfromhere.com/podcast, scroll down, and find episode 17. I would love it if you would just take a few minutes to give feedback or leave a review on Stitcher or iTunes. This helps me know what you think, what you like, what you don't like, how can I improve. And feedback, as always, as any teacher should view it, helps us grow and become better. So thank you for that. Thanks for listening and enjoy the drive. Welcome back to another episode of Drive Podcast. I appreciate you tuning in and listening. And thanks for your feedback. So everything that you have to share with me, I like that. It makes me better and helps me craft a good thing for you to listen to, I hope. Today, I want to talk about something that's going on in one of my graduate classes, which has been really interesting this semester. And I think it's something that can apply to all levels of the education process. And that is a learner-centered classroom design. And we're having a lot of theoretical discussion on exactly what that is and what does, you know, what it means and what it should look like. And this has been interesting. But on the first night of class, we sat down with basically a blank syllabus. And you may or may not remember exactly your college days, but if it's not on the syllabus, it's not happening in the class. And so the goal that first night then was to completely fill in our syllabus. And maybe not with super duper specific details, but with enough specificity that we know what is supposed to happen. So learner-centered then, that's a great question. Should we give our students all this choice? I mean, can they handle that? Now, in a PhD level class, I would say for sure, yes, learner-centered, no problem. But on the flip side of that, when you're in these kind of graduate classes and maybe even some master thesis classes, your interests, what you're writing your paper on, may be different than what the class is supposed to be focused on. So how do we change that and maybe alter that or use that? And so how my professor approached it, he gave us a foundation and he said, look, this is the class, this is the name of the class, this is what we need to learn by the time we get out of the class, these are the conversations we need to think about having in the class, but you guys ultimately will be the ones that determine how this class will go. And so he gave us an umbrella to work under. And he created this umbrella in a way that every student in class can still pursue their research interests while at the same time having an opportunity to learn about the research interests of all the other students. So it's really interesting. And it took a couple of weeks to totally flesh out our syllabus, but everybody submitted article ideas, everybody submitted their different things. And then our professor, he kind of goes, these are the artifacts that I need to see from you this, you know, by May. These are the things I need to see. So it was really interesting, and it truly was a learner-centered thing. Our professor provided the first 2 weeks of instruction as we sort of felt our way through this, and then after that, the students kind of are taking over and doing the majority, contributed of the majority of the thinking. So how would that look in K-12 education? And the question is, I'm not sure. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's very interesting. Because one of the things that we want to try and do is provide some choice to the students. Give them the opportunity to show off what they know, to use what they think they want to use to be amazing and have some of those freedoms that we have as adults. But at the same time, can you walk into a kindergarten classroom and go, okay, what do you guys want to learn this year? I don't know. In my mind, I can't quite get all the way around that. But maybe, you know, one of the things that could be tried out or worked through or thought about is maybe in that kindergarten classroom, is it learner-centered when you have the different centers for those students that they can go play at and learn through? You know, when you've got, I remember when my kids were going through kindergarten and they loved centers, but they got to pick that. So is providing like four or five choices of learning stimulation in the kindergarten classroom, is that learner-centered? So I don't know. I don't have a strong enough background in elementary education to work through that, but I think there's a strong possibility there. And then how can we keep that going moving up? My youngest child now is in second grade, and she doesn't talk about learning centers anymore. And so are we missing out on that opportunity? Are we missing out on allowing those students, once they get out of, you know, kindergarten and first grade, where centers kind of disappear, are we losing an opportunity to continue to give students some choices? And if we give them those choices, does that mean it's learner-centered? So those are some questions. I don't know. Directly from my experience, I look at what happened in a high school math classroom. I spent a lot of time in high school math. And so learner-centered, what does that look like? You know, can I walk in on the first day of Algebra 2 and tell the kids, hey, what do you want to learn this year? It's got to be Algebra 2 based. How do you want to do it? I don't know that they would understand what they need to learn. You know, do they know what they don't know? And if you don't know what you don't know, then how can you know what you need to learn? And so that's a challenging situation. So one of the ways that I tried to get around that in my classroom, I wanted it to be student-centered, and maybe student-focused is more appropriate word. And I flipped my classroom. And I felt like one of the things that the flipped classroom did for my particular students was give them the opportunity to choose when they wanted to do the learning. In high school, just like in all grades, at some point in time, you have to take this big standardized test and show off what you've learned and document for everybody that the teaching was good and the learning was good and you did what you're supposed to do. And so I was always with the kids. We had a set schedule. We took tests on specific days. They knew when a test was coming up, but they had a little bit, you know, they had about a 48-hour window of when to do, apply and learn and do for a particular lesson. And some kids really, really, really hated this concept. They didn't like it at all. They struggled a lot with it at the beginning. It was uncomfortable for them. It was completely different than things they had done in their other classes. And it was hard. It was hard for the first 6 or 7 weeks through Thanksgiving, through Halloween. It was a challenge. And by Halloween, most of the class understood what was going on and was willing to take some ownership in their learning and willing to step into some different things and try some different things and kind of came to a fuller realization of what was occurring. But then not everybody bought into that. And so the question now becomes is, I flipped my classroom. I felt like it was good. My test results were fine. Did it meet every student's needs? Was it student-centered enough to meet the needs of every student? And I don't know. I can't answer that question. I know some students didn't like it at all, but liked me, and so they did it because that's how we were kind of doing things. So I tried again to tweak it. And maybe not student-centered so much, but student-focused, I added a gamification element and mastery learning in high school calculus. And then this gave students the opportunity to actually work through at their own rate. And if they didn't catch something or learn something right away, they weren't penalized for that with a poor grade. They were given the opportunity to learn that material, to actually learn that material so that they could apply that material in the future. Now, I started that year off with an overarching umbrella, and on the first day of school, I kind of told them how class was going to look and what we were going to try, and that I needed their feedback and I needed their participation and I needed them to do these things. But I also told them, you can work at your own pace. However, I need you to be through XYZ when you graduate. I need you to be through XYZ when you are out of here, because that is where we have to get to in calculus. And so I provided them kind of a rough outline of pacing, like if you want to finish everything on time, this is about where you need to be. And I gave them that sort of as a model. And I really felt like this style suited more kids than just flipping. There were still a couple of kids that really struggled with it. One struggled tremendously, and another didn't like it because he just preferred more structure. He didn't like some of the freedoms. And so how do you do that? How do we create a culture inside a system that's so student-centered that when they're given the opportunity to kind of own some of their learning, it's not unusual or weird or uncomfortable because they haven't done it? It's something that they do and enjoy and thrive on. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I think some of the things that are occurring in our current system prevent us from being able to do that sort of exploring with the students. But on the other hand, I felt like my teaching was a lot stronger when I flipped my class and when I went to gamification, because I felt like I could meet more of each individual student's needs. There was a lot more freedom for me to interact with the students, specific students, on specific questions than there was when I was in a more of a traditional work out some examples lecture style classroom. So how can we get student-centered learning to become a focus for how we teach? Because if you look at it, every student is unique. In my graduate class, we are all different people. We all have different passions. We're all interested in different things. And so that's representative of how students are in life. I mean, my personal kids are all different. They are completely different from each other. They like different things. They're curious about different things. They behave different ways. So how can we get this into a classroom setting for them, so that it's not unusual, so that they can enjoy and do and have fun and it's learner centered? How can we do that? So some small steps might be, if you know, in second, third, fourth, fifth grade, if that's what you teach, can you bring centers back? Can you bring those back and allow those kids to explore in those ways? In fifth, sixth, seventh grade, when you're learning about geography or history or some of those first social studies skills, can we use questions like, what would you like to learn about U.S. history? You know, maybe we have to learn about U.S. history. What most interests you? And then can we go from there and still meet those standards that we have to talk about and test over? What about in junior high, when in middle school, when kids now are changing classes and having to move from one place to the next, and the lecture is the most efficient, but whether it's the most beneficial for a student, like how can we put centers there somehow, or create a system of project learning where students have some freedom to demonstrate how they've learned and what they've learned? I don't know. These are hard questions, but I think it's doable. And so exploring those things is important. We can't sit and just be afraid to step outside of our comfort zones and try some things that are different or unique or whatever. And there needs to be a purpose behind that. We can't just try something in just for the sake of trying it. We have to keep in mind as teachers that ultimately by the end of the year, you know, our students need to show some sort of growth in what it is that we're trying to teach them. On the other hand, I think that failure is an important part of this as well, because when you try something new, it doesn't always work right the first time. And if something works right the first time that you do something, every single time, I want to meet you and shake your hand, because I have yet to figure out how to get things to work right the first time, especially in education. There's so many moving parts. But when you take that risk and you fail, you know, as teachers, if you're a good teacher and you try something bold and beautiful and it doesn't work out, my guess is the kids still learned anyway. Whether they learned as much as you wanted them to learn might be another story. But I bet they learned, and I bet they did some really, really cool stuff. So what about that, you know? There's some things to be seen there. And kids, if you struggle with this and you admit with the students, hey, I'm having this problem, what do you guys see about fixing it? What are your ideas? Or if you are thinking about a student-centered unit of some sort, blog about it and share it and get feedback from other teachers that may or may not have experience in that, but can provide another set of eyeballs, can provide another brain to that process. And now, instead of just one person thinking about student-centered and how to incorporate it in a specific classroom, you can reach out and find other people and they can pour into you as well. And now we've got this hive mentality going on where five brains are better than one. I always look back to a cool scene in Apollo 13 is when they've got to bring those astronauts home and those engineers lock themselves in a room to get the square peg into the round hole. Like, they had to figure that out. That is a big problem to solve. And they set their minds to it and they did it. So if we took that same attitude with us into the classroom with whatever sort of thing that we're teaching the kids, a student-centered or whatever, you know, square peg, round hole, we're going to do it. Do we have the courage to do that? I don't know. These are just some things that have been bouncing around in my brain. So thanks for listening to The Drive today. I really appreciate your time. Maybe I rambled a bit today, and I'm sorry about that, but the student-centered thing is very intriguing to me, and I just wonder. I think there's some good things in there that we can use, keeping in mind, of course, that at somewhere along the way, we are the teacher, we are the expert, we know education and understand it. Can we do this in a way that suits our kids for who we are teaching? Thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed The Drive. I appreciate you, and remember that if you're part of the education process, you're making a difference in someone's life every single day, and you will never know. You will absolutely never know. And I thank you so much for doing that, because you pour into my own kids and you pour into me, whether you realize it or not. And I appreciate that, and I thank you for that. Enjoy The Drive. Be brilliant.